Welcome into this week's edition of Pro Football Weekly and Basketball News. I'm Mike Wilkening, filling in for Hub Arkush, who's on vacation this week. Alongside of me is Senior Editor Eric Edholm, and we're joined by our co-host during basketball season, Lakers assistant coach Jim Clements, as well as Steve Kyler, the publisher and editor of HoopsWorld.com and Swoosh Magazine. Let's get right into the happenings around the National Basketball Association. We'll start in Orlando, where Summer League action has kicked off, and right off the bat, we had the matchup everyone wanted to see, Bulls versus Heat. Derrick Rose, the number one overall pick, versus Michael Beasley, the number two pick. And round one goes to Beasley in Miami. Beasley scored 28 points in a win versus the Bulls. It's the ninth highest point total in Orlando Summer League history, and he sat out the second quarter. As for Derrick Rose, his stat line, 10 points, 5 turnovers, 4 assists. Steve, you're in Orlando. What was your impression of Rose versus Beasley?
Well, I mean, everybody wanted to make it Rose versus Beasley. I mean, they were on the court together, but it's not like either one of them played against either one of them. You know, the difference is I think both guys showed up and were as advertised. You know, Derrick Rose, you know, struggled a little bit with learning an offense. You could see that he was fighting the mechanics of it. In the second half, he came out and they kind of rolled the ball out and said, Derrick, just go play. And he was amazing in the second half of the game. Michael Beasley came out and was goofing around, you know, pretty much the entire game, but was, you know, didn't find a shot he didn't like, and there wasn't a shot he wasn't going to take. And, you know, he is just so incredibly good as a basketball player. It's hard to really imagine how he's not going to be amazingly successful as a pro. He is so instinctual. He gets where he needs to be. I wouldn't say he's there because he outworks anybody. He's there because he knows where to be, whether it's on the rebound, whether it's to get the good shot, whether it's to play defense. You know, Mike's an all-around great basketball player. We'll see how his persona plays. Interesting story there. Joakim Noah basically got into it with him a little bit, telling him to quit singing on the court. When asked what he was singing, Mike said, well, I was singing my happy song.
Jim, from a coach's perspective, what are you looking for from young players in the summer league? What constitutes the type of progress that you want to see?
Well, basically, you want your younger players to, once you're introducing them to your system and fellow teammates that they're going to be coming to camp with some of these guys. And so you just want them to be familiar with what they need to do, their assignments, the format, and the context of your offense and your basic basketball philosophy. And then everything else will grow. You know, as Steve alluded to, you basically have, you know, two different players. You know, Beasley's going to be allowed to play, quote-unquote, his game. And that's the problem when you have a point guard. Now, a point guard is an extension of the coach, so numbers will never tell the tale as to the contribution that Rose will make to his basketball team as opposed to the contribution that Beasley's going to make of his, and you can't get this twisted, but oftentimes young basketball players who are the proudest to score in high school and college, now they're going to come into a system where they're not necessarily going to be given the ball to score, and they're going to feel that they're not carrying their weight and holding their own. And they have to understand that it's not about their numbers, it's about winning and losing for the franchise.
Let's switch gears now for a moment, guys, and talk about the beginning of veteran free agency, which starts as we tape in the middle of this week. And the big signing that everybody's talking about, Elton Brand, spurning the Clippers, apparently going to sign with the Philadelphia 76ers. Steve, your thoughts on this, about the financial package he's getting and sort of the ramifications this could have on the East?
Well, there's going to be a lot of discussion about this because, you know, Elton, when he opted out of his Clippers deal basically just 2 weeks ago, was really talking about doing it to build a winner in L.A. and that, you know, it was his intention to re-sign with the Clippers. You know, a lot of people are going to read into the David Falk history with the Clippers and Donald Sterling, but at the end of the day, Elton Brand has become very enamored with what happened in Boston, and that was getting three superstars to come together, everybody sacrificing for the benefit of the good and winning NBA championships. And I think that Elton, when he started this process, really thoroughly believed that he could do that with Baron Davis joining him in L.A. But I think when the 76ers came calling and you look at how less competition there is in the East for that supremacy, you know, they've got a lot of good teams but not a lot of great teams. The Western Conference is going to be a tough battle. And when you look at pairing with Andre Miller, a veteran proven point guard, a great young player in Andre Iguodala, Thaddeus Young, who was a who is basically a Rookie of the Year candidate, Samuel Dalembert, a nice emerging young big man, and a loaded bench. You know, I think the appeal of the Eastern Conference, the appeal of an easier path to victory, and of course an $82 million package made it very simple for Elton Brand. He said for a long time he really thought he could be much more effective and much more recognized in the Eastern Conference, and he's going to get a shot. This was not about money. The L.A. Clippers did come in basically 2 days ago and basically upped their offer to $81 million. This was about Elton Brand wanting to play in the Eastern Conference and wanting to play with the 76ers.
Jim, as we wrap up here, this is Eric. I wanted to get your opinion on one of the more intriguing free agents. You know, Steve mentioned the Eastern Conference and the Big Three in Boston. I think one of their more important pieces in this run of the championship was James Posey, and you know, he's kind of seen as a hired gun, so to speak. I mean, he always shows up in the playoffs. Has been a tremendously productive player, but you're looking at him as probably a sixth or seventh man. What were your impressions of Posey watching him in the finals, and is he a guy that is worth more than the mid-level exception to a team that might be close to winning a championship?
Well, I think that you know, James is a very intriguing, you know, athlete, and if you go back and, you know, be able to study, you know, his path and his growth curve, he's done everything he's needed to do. I think sometimes people expected more of him, but the fact is when you're quote-unquote basically a sixth man, then your role fluctuates from game to game. And I think that James has shown the ability and the capacity to knock down open shots. He's a fierce defender. Sometimes he may be a little bit overly aggressive and gets caught up in emotion. But these are the things that I wouldn't be upset about, because you want a young man who wants to compete. And I think that's his history. That's who he is.
We say goodbye to Steve Kyler, HoopsWorld.com. We'll be back in a moment with a discussion of the Sonics' move to Oklahoma City on Pro Football Weekly and Basketball News.